Every day, there's a swirl of new developments from the impeachment trial. And even if you're one of those who spend hours watching it, it can be hard to make sense of everything going on. So we wanted to answer some of your questions. And to do that, we've brought in NPR's senior editor and correspondent, Ron Elving. Welcome, Ron.
Good to be with you.
Well, thanks for being here. We know there are so many rules that govern the trial. For example, senators are not supposed to talk during the impeachment trial, but they can speak to the press during breaks. We got a lot of questions about senators' behavior. Our first question comes from Karen Johnson, who asks, why are senators not being admonished for leaving the room, reading books, talking to each other, and giving interviews when they are supposed to be listening to the prosecutors?
The simple answer is because Chief Justice John Roberts doesn't feel like playing the role of, if you will, schoolmarm and telling them all to get back to their seats. The discipline must be imposed by the presiding officer. There's really no one else to do it. And he does not seem to be inclined to do it. The behavior has actually gotten better because people have gotten more interested in sitting down and listening to what was being said. But there has been a lot of breach of the rules that you describe.
Speaking of Chief Justice John Roberts and his role, we also received quite a few questions about that. Corey Thurlow asks, can Justice Roberts compel the White House to comply with subpoenas for documents and or witnesses?
That would involve the court, not just John Roberts. He could not, as the presiding officer in this trial, simply declare that the subpoenas that might have been issued earlier by the House or any subpoenas that might be issued now had to be honored by the president. Generally speaking, it would not begin at the Supreme Court level. It would begin at a district court level, then go to an appeals court. It would take weeks, months before that was ruled on. It's not inconceivable that the court could move faster, but we have seen very little inclination on the part of this court to move at the speed of impeachment.
This next question comes to us from Danielle Herrera. Let's listen.
My name is Danielle Herrera, and I'm from Boston. My question is in regards to the 2020 presidential election. If President Trump is impeached, would the acting president, Mike Pence, automatically be entered as a Republican presidential candidate? If not, is there enough time for another Republican candidate to campaign before the election?
Ron.
Mike Pence, I think, would be automatically interested in being the nominee, but that does not make him the nominee, and there would have to be a process. And if Mike Pence wanted to be president, there would probably be some other Senate Republicans, gubernatorial Republicans, who would want to run as well.
As you know, Ron, President Trump tweets a lot. In fact, that's probably an understatement to say he tweets a lot. Aaron of California wants to know how much control Senate Republicans have on Trump's tweets. Here's his question. Trump has implied that his tweets are legal and binding by his response required of the Wars Power Act via tweet. Can Congress use his tweets as legal and binding as part of the impeachment, since he considers them legal and binding?
Yes, they have been declared, in essence, to be official White House statements. So if he says or does something with his Twitter account that would seem to be obstructing Congress or ultimately in perhaps another proceeding obstructing justice, which he is not accused of in this impeachment trial, and that doesn't happen to be a piece of evidence that the Democrats are using particularly in this particular proceeding.
This next question is in regards to how impeachment works, if there are enough votes. Let's listen.
My name is Bobby Lynn Hutchins. I'm from Bar Harbor, Maine. And my question is, if there were enough votes to remove Trump from office, how does that procedure work? How long would it take? And what would happen if Trump refused to leave?
We're in somewhat uncharted waters here because no president has ever been compelled to leave. And in the cases of the two other impeachment processes that we've seen, Nixon voluntarily resigned before he was impeached and removed. In the case back in the 1860s and again with Bill Clinton, the Senate chose not to remove the president. We don't really have any guidelines here. One assumes that the judgment of the Senate would be enforced by the Supreme Court, and at that point, the president would no longer have the authority to be president or call himself president. Someone else would, Mike Pence would, and legal authorities would follow his word rather than Donald Trump's.
You know, this next question from Chelsea from Massachusetts, I think it's the question that lots of Americans want to know as they watch. She wants to know the likelihood, based on the makeup of the Senate, of removing Trump from office.
It's simply not likely. We are debating at this moment whether there would be a handful of Republicans, four at minimum, maybe a half a dozen, who would be willing to vote for a rule allowing for witnesses. And so that's a question mark, whether there would be four. If the Senate Republicans were going to vote to remove the president, there would need to be 20 of them. And at this point, there's no indication that we're anywhere near that number, or even for that matter, single digits. So it's a long, long step from where we are now to 20 Republicans being willing to vote to remove the president from office.
That's NPR's Ron Elving. Ron, thank you.
Thank you.